Hello, everybody, and welcome to ROMs Over Baghdad. I'm your host, Shelby. Joining us today, Jake, on episode 210.
I'm back. It's just me.
Welcome. I know. Well, have we ever done a two-person podcast, me and you?
I don't think so.
Might have been one of the early ones. I feel like way back.
Yeah,
DJ
probably.
DJ was out one episode, and so was He Shall Not Be Named. And I think it was just me and you. I think one of those. So that's cool.
Yeah.
How are you doing? How's everything going?
I'm doing all right. Been working from home. So our office like unofficially opened, and then they kind of wanted everybody to come back, and I was like, do I have to? And they're like, no, you can stay home if you want. Okay. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I mean if that works out, you know.
I mean, it was more about the pandemic part.
Right.
I want to work from home because I get way more done in the office.
Sure, yeah.
But I just kind of want to play it safe. So.
Oh, yeah. I get that. That makes sense. Play it safe. It's always worth it.
And our governor just made our mask mandate, like, all in private businesses, too. So.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if Pennsylvania did that. I haven't heard that.
So everybody is now going to be wearing masks tomorrow, but I have not been explicitly told that I need to come back. So I'm just going to keep working from home until anybody says, hey, which I bet will be tomorrow. Probably somebody's okay. Like, hey, but whatever. If everybody else is wearing masks, I'll probably go in.
I mean, if you're completing your work, right? Like, I think it works out fine.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as you're getting done what you got to get done. Like, I don't think, at least for when I was my last job, it was just like, you can get whatever you have done to do today at home, then just stay at home or whatever. So it's at least the way we ran it there.
I mean, that's how I've been doing pretty well. So just getting shit done. Okay.
Good.
I really don't think my team lead is really going to care. So.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
What about you, man? What have you been up to?
Making a bow and arrow.
What are you making out of?
Wood. I'm woodworking. Yeah. It's a red oak. It's a board from Home Depot or Lowe's. I forget which one we went to that day. And then I had a old redbud tree outside that was starting to fall apart. So I cut a piece of that off to make the handle out of. Making progress. It's going well so far.
You ever seen people make bows out of PVC pipe and like a heat gun?
PVC pipe.
Yeah, dude, it's awesome. There's a channel. Huh. I don't know if he's still making videos or not, but there's a guy called the Backyard Bowyer.
Uh huh.
And
yep.
yeah, he made I've seen a bunch of his videos where he made bows out of PVC pipe. Like he would take the ends of them and he would hit them with a heat gun and flatten the ends of them out. And then it would bend really well, and the thing was, they're nuts.
Huh.
It's like apocalypse shit. It's like, yeah. Hey, you need to hunt, and you don't have a gun, and it's the end of the fucking world. Here, you can make one of these.
Oh, wow, that looks real neat, the way that the PVC looks. That looks real sick.
Yeah, it looks pretty sweet.
Post this in chat, unless I guess I remember how to bring chat up. That is a nice looking bow. I've been watching Kramer Ammons on YouTube. He's he makes bows. He's been it's sort of been useful to see it. I've been just following along with some like plans or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then actually be able to see like, okay, how is he sanding it out? How is he roughing it out? How is he using the chisel or whatever to get it down to the spot? It's been useful that way.
Well, we've both been getting into hobbies. That's cool.
Hobbies.
What's your workshop setup looking like?
My kitchen table.
It's fair. Do you have a garage or anything?
We have a downstairs where I have stuff.
Is it a finished basement or is it unfinished basement?
Unfinished. Yeah.
That's perfect. I wouldn't work it. I wouldn't make a workshop or a finished basement into a workshop. But if it's unfinished, at least if it has like insulation on the walls, but there's no drywall or whatever. Fuck it, man.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it works out well. A lot of stuff sits down there. And then, I don't know, when I need something, I just pull it up. I like working outside in a weird way. Like, I like just taking stuff out in the front yard and then start working on something. Good lighting. Great.
Yeah,
lighting.
That's how we would do it back at my parents' place. Is we just open the garage door and just roll all the stuff out because they had a big drive pad in front of their driveway. Right. So That's where we did most of our cutting and stuff, just so less cleanup, sawdust and all that shit, you know.
Okay.
Makes sense. Get yourself a go down to Harbor Freight or something and get yourself a real basic workbench.
Yeah, I should. I've been thinking about going on to Harbor Freight. I need some, the heck are they called?
Harbor Freight is great for manual tools. Do not buy power tools from there.
Well, yeah.
I do as I say, not as I do. I own a Harbor Freight drill press, and it's actually pretty nice. And it was way cheaper than anything I could have gotten at like Home Depot.
Yeah, I got my grandmother at some point a basic like drill thing, and then some like just basic hand tools to do stuff with, and she really likes them, and it was super cheap in comparison to Lowe's or Home Depot.
Yeah,
to work out, you know. Yes, are they gonna fall apart probably faster than you would from getting like, I don't know,
I mean,
a Black and Decker or something? Sure, but who cares at a certain point, right? Like, I mean, they're gonna do their job for a couple of years, and then by that point, who knows?
Yeah, a lot of like the Home Depot shit is perfect for like even someone like me, a quote unquote home gamer, is what people like. If I'm just working on like DIY stuff and maybe building some shit and whatever, a battery powered Ryobi drill is going to be totally fine for me.
Yeah.
I don't need some $300 drill or whatever.
No. And a lot of that stuff is aimed at contractors and stuff like that. And like, not at like Joe Blow on the street, just trying to get like, you know, do a couple of small projects. You know, I mean, that's what Harbor Freight's great. I like it a lot.
Harbor, and they sell other random shit too. That's actually like super useful sometimes. Like I bought a TV mount, like a wall mount, for like $20, and I still have it, and it's still holding a TV, and that was like 6 years ago. And they have the one here has giant pet beds for like $8. My cats love those. Yeah, Harbor Freight's kind of it's one of those places where you can just kind of walk through all the aisles and be like, what do they got?
Yep.
Oh shit, those are cheap. Do I need those for a project? No, I'm gonna buy them anyway.
Yep. That's the best thing. I miss stores. Like, a lot of stores nowadays are so like regimented. Like, I like a store where it's just like, here's some stuff, you'll look at it, you'll walk by it, but like, I don't know, my favorite kind of store is a store you can just go in and find something weird that you like.
Yeah, they sell a lot of air tools there too, and I've been considering once I finally find a place to move. And I get my bills cut in half and have a whole lot more money to put away and some more to spend on hobbies, you know. Just kind of get some air tool action. But you need a really big air compressor for those. And the only one I got is a little tiny thing,
sure,
which is good for like airing up tires and like cleaning out computer cases, but it's empty in like 10 minutes. So
sure, yeah.
Yeah. But man. My dad has one of those giant like 50-gallon ones that's like this tall and has like its own wheels and stuff. Oh man, the thing's awesome. Love it.
Oh shit.
Loud as fuck though. Those things are so loud.
Yeah, I bet. Okay. You should do it. You should do that 3D printing podcast. You should
find
some people. That's a really good idea.
Yeah, we have some people that we have converted to the 3D printing hobby in our group of friends. Yep. And we have one more person who's considering buying one.
Yep.
So because I bought a second printer.
Ooh.
Yeah. And that's kind of what my time has been going into, is just kind of getting that thing up and running how I like it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, because the first one I have is still working great. It's like my workhorse. I can just give it a file and just let it go, and it spits out a really nice print, and I'm happy with it. But the new one, the build volume is way bigger.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I can print bigger things. And
what's the biggest thing you printed?
I haven't really printed anything really big, because I'm still trying to, there's some weird print artifacts. Like, there's some really bad vibration in the frame that shows up in the prints. I'm still trying to suss that out. Not entirely sure what's causing that.
Hmm. I wouldn't have any idea.
Yeah. Really? I've been messing with settings and shit and flashing a lot of firmwares and stuff onto that printer. Because, like, I already replaced the main board on it with a better one. It has, like, quiet drivers and stuff for the motors. And that thing is already, like, so much more quiet than it was. I mean, I like the kind of robotic sound of the drivers making the motors go, but it's kind of loud. And I was like, okay, I'm over the novelty of it. Like, now the power supply fan is louder than anything else on that printer. So that's getting replaced.
I'm looking at somebody who 3D printed a Droidica, and that's real neat. That's all I know. That's 3D printing. That's all I would do is print really, really nerdy stuff. The most amount of nerd out of a 3D print I could get. Just tons of Warframe stuff. I mean, Warhammer. There we go. We got it.
You would probably want a resin printer for miniatures, because the resolution on those is way, way better.
Yeah, okay, I could see that.
And those are coming down in cost, too. You can get a decent one. The build volume's really small. It's like maybe like a 5x7 like letter.
Mm-hmm.
But you can get one of those for like $200. But there's a whole bunch of post-processing shit you have to do, because that resin's super toxic. And like you don't want to touch the uncured resin with your hands. So it's like it comes out of the printer, and then you have to take it and put it into
some kind of curing solution.
You put it into rubbing alcohol to get some of the uncured, like the stuff that's not set, get that resin off there. And then you have to leave it in UV light for a while to actually like cure the resin. Yeah.
Okay.
And then of course you have to paint them too if you're doing miniatures. So.
Well, yeah. That's interesting. I never knew you had to do that with resin, but it sort of makes sense.
The way resin works is actually really cool. It's like a pool of resin, and then there's a plate that gets pulled out of the resin. Uh-huh. And at the bottom of the pool, there's an LCD screen that is doing UV like layers, like a CAT scan. So it's curing entire layers at once. And so that's why the resolution of the screen you're using matters, because you can actually see the pixels kind of show up if you're using a kind of a low res screen. Uh-huh. You can kind of see them show up in the print.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, okay. So your prints basically come out upside down. They get pulled out of this thing like
they get reverse
Terminator.
Weird.
Yeah.
It's neat.
Resin printing is pretty cool, but I just don't have the... I don't want to put up with that kind of shit at the having to do that every time I pull a print off the thing. With what I've got now, it's like I just walk over there, just pop it off the bed, and hey, cool, I'm ready to go.
Cool. Holy cow. I never knew any of this about resin printing. It gets pulled out is so wild.
Mm.
It's so like, that's so future. I don't know. It's really neat. Holy cow. Huh. Well, sir, let's move on then from talking about our project.
Sure.
Talk about what you've been playing. What's up? What's the games that you have been digging into?
So I haven't really been playing a ton. But I've been touching in on some stuff here and there. I've been playing a little bit of Space Engineers.
I've heard about this game.
Game's been out for a long time in early access, and it just hit 1.0, I think, maybe.
Okay.
I think that may have been why interest popped up in our group.
It did seem like all of a sudden everyone was like, Space Engineers? And then I was like, oh, okay. That game, right. Huh.
Let's take a look here.
I did. It had to up, right?
Pretty sure.
I remember that game years ago. I feel like who the heck was doing something about that?
It is way different now. Oh.
I feel like I remember seeing that on an Unprofessional Fridays or something like that at some point. A while back. It does seem different. You guys have been talking about going like mining and stuff like that and space pirates and stuff.
Yeah, dude.
And that's been neat.
I accidentally... Because it's very space, like accurate, I guess. Because we made a mining ship out of one of the starter ships. Because we started in one spot and it was like, hey, right, here you go. Here's a ship just out in the middle of fucking space. And it's got life support and stuff on it, so you can use mm-hmm. all that. And then we all found each other with our ships, and we scuttled one, and we used all the parts to make the other two better. And then I went off and went mining, and I didn't think about when you're mining, your ship gets heavier, and then it takes a lot longer for it to slow down. And I ran right into an asteroid.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Because I didn't think about it. And then after that, I was like, oh, I'm an idiot.
Well, listen, if I learned anything from playing, what the heck was it, Outer Wilds? Mm-hmm. Controlling a spaceship, it's a challenge. It's a challenge every time. Bringing something in for landing is really rough. I could have used that as transition to flight sim, but I won't.
And let's see what else. Nope, that's Space Engineers and Due Process.
Due process.
They're in like a buy-in beta now.
Yep. Okay.
So
I know. Yep.
The game is not listed on Steam. Like, it doesn't come up in the search.
Okay.
But if you go to their site, there's a link that goes right to an unlisted Steam page. And the reason they're doing that is because their server infrastructure is still not excellent. So if they put it in the search, they would just get swamped. And nobody will be able to play. So they're trying to get people in slowly.
Yeah, build up amount of...
Right, yeah, because it's still in super active development. So
I mean, with all the issues like Fall Guys had, I think that's smart to try to like kind of build up a little bit. Yeah. Just on the infrastructure side, I think that's a good idea. It makes sense to me.
But that game has come a long way since last time I played it in alpha. It runs a lot better. The menus are a lot nicer. And yeah, the performance of the game is, that was a big part of it. It's still pretty buggy. Like the first game I played, I was teleporting all over the fucking place and like lagging and rubber banding and shit. It was terrible. But the subsequent games we played after that, I wasn't really having many performance issues.
Okay. God, that game looks so good every time I see it. I should have tried to get into the beta at some point before the buy-in period or whatever.
My alpha key works until the game hits 1.0, and then I have to buy a copy.
Right.
So, which, sure. And it's 25 bucks. It's a pretty good deal. Man, in my opinion.
Yeah. I can remember when you first talked about this game on this podcast, like... God, it must have been like 150 episodes ago.
Something like that, dude.
Oh my goodness. It's so exciting to see it finally come to completion.
Yeah.
That's going to be big.
I hope so. Like they've got some issues like when okay, so between rounds, it also there are three like tile sets cuz the maps are randomly generated. But then the developers go through all of the maps that it spits out and they throw out the bad ones. So every week or so, they'll be like, we added 48 new maps. And every round you play a different map. The map is different every round. But they also change the tile sets. So the turnaround time between rounds is super long because it has to reload all of those assets because it's changing tile sets each time. And I kind of wish they would just like keep the same tile set for the whole match and then just put in the random maps that use that tile set. Okay. So then your turnaround time would be a lot shorter.
Okay. I could see that. Okay. I don't know how you would fix that. I feel like that's
they
could put some kind of random generator in, but yeah, go ahead. What you were going to say.
I mean, I think what they would just need to do is just say, hey, this map is using this tile set. So just generate ones that have this or give me ones that have this tile set.
Right. Okay. I could see that.
But I don't know. if they could speed that loading up, I would be fine with the tile set changing, because it's pretty cool. But right now it just takes way too long. It's like, sure, it's like 45 seconds to a minute between each round with loading times.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then there's, and then there's like a 30 second planning phase, and then yeah, so the turnaround time on rounds is quite long. And
yeah, I could, I mean, that's the good thing about doing something like this beta, right, where you can just nail down some of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't seem like a completely difficult change to have before release, just like speed stuff up. I mean, they're probably still doing like passes on just like, you know, get rid of glitches and stuff like that and kind of smooth everything out.
Oh, so yeah.
I could see them doing something with that.
We've had a couple of bugs where you down an enemy and then their player model is still just up and like animating, but he's like in place. So ran into a couple of those where I thought it was somebody and it wasn't, they were already dead. Mm-hmm. And then I got killed by somebody else in the room because I was shooting at the standing model.
Huh.
But that's okay. The convenience store tile set is my favorite for sure. Mm-hmm. Because it's very cyberpunky.
Yeah, I think that's been the thing that about every time I see this game, I'm always like, man, the more cyberpunk you could make this, the happier I would be.
Yeah, because the cops are like Judge Dredd, basically. They look just like judges. And the gangsters are all like super cyberpunk looking.
Mm-hmm.
And something else I noticed was like in the kill feed, it's like if one of the gang members kills one of the attackers, it says so and so wasted so and so. But if it's the other way around, it says neutralized.
Ooh,
yeah. Okay. So that's pretty cool too. Little tiny changes like that.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if they're aiming for like around that same time Cyberpunk comes out. It would sort of make November and December-ish area.
I see this being in buy and beta for at least a year.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
I can see that.
They still got a long ways to go, but it's fucking fun though.
Sure.
Like if you can get past the load times and like kind of the bugginess of it, it is fucking fun and it is cool as hell.
Yeah, like just watching like people breach doors and stuff and like move in, like it's got a really nice, just the aesthetic and the everything's so smooth in that regard and like how you open doors and move through the environment. It's just, it looks good. And also the planning screen seems really neat.
Yeah, the planning like stage is really cool. Because the one thing I have an issue with right now is when I'm trying to orient myself when I spawn, mm-hmm, and then I look at the map, there's no arrow to show which way you're currently looking.
Okay. Like I would almost hope. Okay, that's one of the problems I always had with Siege when we played was sometimes in Siege it just be like, I don't know, you just get dropped into this game with people and they just go like chickens with their heads cut off, crazy running around, where like I feel like the planning stage at least gives you some kind of cooperation, especially if you're playing with random people online. Like some kind of like focus on, hey, we're gonna move in this direction at least.
And you can draw on the map and it like shows up on the ground in the game. Pretty awesome.
It's so good. Oh my goodness.
And everybody flashes when you get hit, like you flash, your player model flashes like an old school like arcade game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I love it. And I love the look of this game, man. It looks really good.
But I'm super happy for Giant Enemy Crab, the developers of this game, to finally see this thing, like they're finally making money off of it.
That's great. That's got to be such a rewarding experience. Mm-hmm. Now I hope it does well, continues to get updates. That's cool.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it catches on once they kind of get the server infrastructure there and being able to scale it for more people.
Cool.
Because like the servers were struggling and they had on the lobby screen, it's like, hey, here's how many matches are currently going on. It was like 30 something. And the servers were kind of struggling. But apparently they were having issues with an update they pushed out on Friday night because the next morning, like, they're like, hey, we rolled back an update because it was being screwy. So maybe it was just bad timing on our part, and we happened to play like right when they pushed a buggy patch out. But I'm probably going to play more of that tonight, hopefully.
You should.
Yeah.
Keep us in the loop. I will be so excited when this game finally... It's been such a long... It's been a podcast staple. I would be so excited.
Yeah, seriously. And we can stream it now. We can stream it, and you can like record video and post it places.
Ooh.
So once my streaming PC works again, yeah.
That'd be dope.
Yeah, that'll be... eBay told me it will be either September 1st or October 1st when that motherboard shows up.
Okay, eBay.
Because
eBay gives the weirdest amount of time.
No, it's I'm ordering a really niche part that I'm surprised anybody is still making these at the price that they're making them at. It's an LGA 2011, not LGA 2011-3, which is like a couple years ago, a year or two ago. No, LGA 2011, the first one from 2011. Like people there's a couple of companies in China that are still making those. Mm-hmm. But they're stupid cheap. Like I ordered one for, it was like $67 shipped. Huh. Micro ATX support for a CPU socket that hasn't been used in like 9 years. And it's got some, that motherboard's like time traveling, dude. Cause it's like, it's got a 2011 socket and then it's got an M2 slot on it. Like what?
What?
Yeah. It's like they went back in time and they just kind of picked up an M2 slot on the way there. It's like, we're going back to 2011. And then they're like, oh, M2 slots are cool. So let's put one on there. I'm like, whatever.
Do it.
I mean, it's just SATA. It's just, they're not using the PCI Express. Oh, yeah. They're just, it's just going to be SATA. So I saw that in the listing. I was like, okay, that's funny. But that was what the old board was too. Because I think the PCI Express port on it died. Because I turned it, it just randomly turned off on me and then went, like, it was able to still boot because my input director would say, hey, your capture machine's up. Like, it would get into Windows, but I wouldn't have any video. I was like, what the fuck is going on? So I went out of my garage, grabbed a random old video card I had sitting around, plugged it in, and I got the same thing. It would boot. It would like, I would get the post beep and then I'd get 5 beeps after it. I was like, well, what the fuck? Okay, this is bad. And then I wiggled the card in the slot a little bit and I booted and then that one worked. And then I went to put the case back together and then it didn't work again. So I was like, okay, it's gotta be the motherboard.
Probably
toast, which is fine by me because the layout on that thing is, it's one of those Chinese boards.
Right.
And the layout on that thing is fucking insane. Like the 24 pin is like all the way in the back by the rear IO. So you have to like snake a 24 pin all the way around and the SATA ports are in weird spots. But the one that I got,
I had one of those.
Yeah. The one that's coming is way more. It's like a pretty standard micro ATX layout. So I'm like, yes,
yeah, I'm good.
It won't be a pain in the ass to work on.
Man. A weird Chinese motherboard is my favorite thing ever.
They sell.
I had one of those, and it was just like, okay, here's your power. Here's your like the power key or whatever, the button for the BIOS power was over here, and then like the reset was on the other. I was fucking bananas. I should dig that out.
There's,
I still have it downstairs.
The listing for the board that I bought has the front panel pinout in the image, like in the listing image, because they don't ship you a manual and it's not labeled on the motherboard. Okay. So it's in the image, the eBay listing image. It just has a little diagram for the front panel. Whatever. I mean, that's all you really need if you know what you're doing.
Yeah, if you can look at it and everything works, I mean,
I mean, it'd be nice if you guys would silkscreen it onto the board, but I mean, sure. It costs money, so.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's I need a motherboard for a fucking ancient CPU that is still relatively powerful and some other components. And China's like, we got you, fam. It's like, here's a $67 motherboard. And it's like, if I wanted a one from like Asus or Gigabyte or something from that time period, they're like $300 on eBay. I was like, don't really need it that badly. I'm not going to spend that much on them. But those same companies, they sell, I saw another one. It's an extended ATX. So it's this massive motherboard and it's got two LGA 2011 slots on it or sockets and eight RAM slots. But that won't work with the CPU I've got. I was like, what if I were to buy another 3930K and put it in there?
Just do it.
And you can't. It doesn't work. That's because it's a consumer one. But the like server CPUs, like the Xeons and stuff that were in that socket, those you can totally do that. You can totally buy two of those and just drop them in there and just have a dual CPU setup inside of like a case. You'd have to buy a slightly larger case because it's extended. Uh-huh. It's extended ATX, so it's like a big ass square PCB, basically.
Okay.
But I mean, that's you wouldn't use that for gaming. It'd be terrible for gaming. You'd want it for like video production and shit like that. Real CPU intense stuff.
Yeah, CPU now.
Yeah, that'd be really good for a workstation or render station or something. But I mean, I just saw those boards and they're only like $120 and you can get LGA 2011 CPUs or like Xeon CPUs for like 50 a pop.
Wow.
And then DDR3 server RAM is stupid cheap. Mm-hmm. So I thought about that for a few minutes. I was like, no, that's overkill. What am I doing? Maybe I'll make a Minecraft server or some shit and use that
thing. Yeah, there you go. Oh my god, that is cheap. That's not bad price wise. Wow,
but you get zero support and zero warranty.
Right,
so it's like you know what you're buying, basically.
Yep, I mean that's it's sort of the fun of playing with it. Like I would never want to do that for like I want to build a PC for the first time or something like that. But it works when you're like I'm building a second PC to do a specific thing with. Like then you're just playing around a little bit,
Yeah. It's like, hey, I still have the CPU and the RAM and the GPU from my old build, and it's still relatively powerful, and I can use that graphics card for NVENC for streaming.
Uh-huh.
Shit, man.
Hey.
I was like, I don't really feel like I said, I wasn't going to buy a $300 motherboard, but then I went on eBay, and I saw these no-name-ass Chinese boards, and I was like, perfect. It's like, if it dies, whatever. If it takes all my other shit with it, whatever. I've had that stuff for almost a decade. And that 3930K ran a 1.2 gigahertz overclock for like 5 years. So.
Hey. Okay.
But yeah, that's what I'm up to these days. What about you, man? What are you playing?
I'm playing Flight Sim. You want to talk about CPU intensive games?
Seriously.
Flight Sim's a nightmare to try to run. Like, sometimes just straight up, like, doesn't want to work to a certain extent, where it's like, we're going to try to load this little town in India or something like that. And it refuses to load on certain spots. But, I don't know, I've been finding it a fun enough thing to, like, play around with some of the activity stuff and do some landings. I did a Thursday, it was a Thursday stream where I was like, trying to find Mount Everest, which was weirdly not marked on any of the maps in game. I just wanted to land a 747 on Mount Everest, but I could not find a location to do that. Or I might have went by it. It's hard to tell. When you're in a plane, everything looks small.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I've been kind of playing around with. Flight Sim has been an experience in patience, but also. It's such a cool game. It's like Crysis in a way where it's like, in 10 years, this game's going to be.
Can it run Flight Sim 2020, though, bro?
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
I downloaded it. that was an experience in and of itself.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah,
150
gigs.
Well, yeah, but it's weird because it says it's 150 gigs, but then it proceeds to download like a 3 gig file, which then launches. Yep. And then proceeds to download the rest of it or something.
Yep. Then downloads like 100 gigs.
It downloads like 90 gigs or something. And then mine just like froze mid-download. It got to like 70 gigs and just froze.
So the thing with my download was it wouldn't even start the download. Like it loaded the blue bar or whatever, which is the download bar. But Unless you didn't know that you had it actually needs to see the numbers on both sides of it. You could be just sitting there at that blue bar never downloading anything, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fun. Great time. Yeah. Oh. That's fun. That's a fun little thing. It's very relaxing, very soothing to just, like, fly through the skies and listen to your computer slowly build up an intense amount of heat. Also, like, we were playing, what the heck game was it? Remnant. And I had it, like, I had download going on in the background. And for some reason, because I was playing with the Xbox control with the gamepad, and every time I would press, like, I think A or start or something like that, there was that little line on the download page where it's like, open up for, like, frequently asked questions or whatever, and it's just like a, it's a hyperlink. So every time I was pressing A, it would open up a window, and at some point I looked over from Remnant at my second screen and saw, like, this, I saw a Chrome window with, like, 700 tabs. And I was like, what the hell's happening over here? And, yeah, that took a, that was quite the exciting moment to realize that fucking have 700 windows of Chrome. yeah. You know. I don't know how much more I'm going to play Flight Sim. I've done most of the landing stuff now. I'd love to do a meetup. People were talking about in our kind of like our friend group doing like a, I don't know, a race or a meetup or something like that. Mm-hmm. Fly around, but I don't know where we would even do it because it's not like, it's not like the crew or something like that where everything's loaded in all at once. Like, right. You kind of have to pick your route.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see. I don't know what we're going to do. We'll figure something out.
What's the multiplayer like? Do you hop in multiplayer at all?
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of almost like a big open world kind of deal. Like, if you load everything in live mode or whatever, like, there's just planes flying around, like, by other players. Like, it's not like, just kind of almost like MMO-y. Like, it's just like, here you go, drop you into this server where you can play around with these other people. Or not, or you're on the other side of the world or something like that.
Sure.
Which is cool, but strange. I saw a bunch of people, I was flying over San Francisco or something like that, and I just saw a bunch of people just the weirdest trying to land on buildings and doing different kinds of, like, hot stunts with, like, planes. That was cool. I don't know. I will be interested to see if we can play some multiplayer in that, because somebody could do some really weird stuff. The thing on a subreddit for Flight Sim was everyone was flying to Epstein's Island or whatever.
I saw that. I saw a screenshot of that. There was like there was like seven planes parked seven on the planes. Island. Yeah, dude.
Yeah. If only Fight Island was a real island, we could all fly to Fight Island.
Dude, it's all about that Fight Circus.
I know. Fight Circus.
Fight Circus. Can we talk about Fight Circus for a second?
Let's talk about Fight Circus.
Did you
circus.
Watch any talk of Fight Circus?
I watched a little Fight
Circus. Dude. What the fuck? Easily the most entertaining thing I've seen in a long time, to be honest with you.
Yeah, really.
Fight Circus was hosted by a adult live cam website called Cam Soda. And I guess it was kind of with some Taiwanese MMA promotion or something.
Yeah.
Like Iron something.
Tangentially. Like, yeah, yeah. Weird.
But it had this really fucking weird vibe of just like, hey, here's all these American expats running some shit in like outside of Bangkok. And it was just this most fucking surreal thing.
It was magic.
These completely the matchups were really weird. There was a 2v1 fight that ended, and then they started fighting again. It was like an encore fight, and the one guy lost both times. Surprise!
He lost. The professional boxer lost. I didn't catch that one. He lost.
No, there was two of them. There was supposed to be two v one fights, but one of the guys in the second fight tested positive for coronavirus, so he's like, nope, that fight's canceled. And then they had some fights that weren't even on the card that just kind of showed up. Like, there was an intergender grappling match, which was actually pretty impressive. Like, the lady won, and she was actually really good. And she messed this dude up. I mean, well, it's grappling, so you can't really mess up somebody, but...
Well, sure.
She worked him. And then there was another one. Oh. There was another, I think it was a Muay Thai. I never fucking pronounce that.
Muay Thai?
Muay Thai. There we go.
Muay Thai.
Where they could only kick and use their knees.
Oh, God. How'd that work out? How'd that?
One guy got kicked in the head, and he's like, No, I'm done.
That's enough. Oh my God!
And one of the guys in one of the actually sort of passable matches that like sort of looked like a real MMA match, the guy who won got a bong because the event was sponsored by a glass company that makes not plateware. They make smoking devices.
Okay.
So, and then they were giving out swords and shit to people that won because they were sponsored by some blade company, some sword or like knife company or some shit.
Uh-huh.
So at one point they gave out just a blade. It didn't have a handle on it. It was just the blade and like the tang and that was it. No handle, nothing. No, not even paracord on it.
Oh my God.
Just the most carny fucking thing ever. But I watched all of it and it was amazing.
Yeah, I bet. And I guess they implied, right, like they're doing, this is going to be something that happens every once in a while.
Hopefully. Like, dude, I'm stoked. I'm ready for Fight Circus Volume 2. Just like right in my veins, please. I need it.
Well, I mean, if Cam Soda is still very excited about promoting it, I'm sure it'll keep going.
Dude, it was fucking ridiculous. Just like watching this shit on Cam Soda because there's just like a sidebar full of channels. That just updates.
Yeah, I bet.
And it was kind of sad because you're watching this thing and it's like, this has 2,000 viewers and then the most viewed channel after that is like 25.
Wow. Well, that night, the Cam Soda, the people were not having very much, I don't know, like, much luck, I'm sure.
Cam Soda is the inferior adult streaming site, by the way.
That's true. I wouldn't know. I would have no idea. But good. I'm glad it went off.
Cam Soda does not have very much variety. Let's put it that way.
Okay. Very unvariety. Okay. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. My God. I love reading this card. This card is like, oh, it's so carny. And it's just so beautiful. It's so weird.
They had two... dwarves, little people.
Uh-huh.
I think little people is the correct nomenclature. But okay, they had two little people that were just walking out with every single person. One was dressed like Superman, and the other one was dressed like Batman, and they were just hype. Uh-huh. They were hype as fuck every single time, just dancing and shit, just with every person as they walked to the ring. It was awesome. It's fucking sweet.
That's cool.
But it was like, they also had it was sort of a weird air to it. Cause you could tell that like some of the people just couldn't fucking understand like what the announcer was saying. And like they were not seasoned fighters, I guess. So, I mean, there was this kind of weird vibe to it, but I don't know. It was still entertaining though. Fight Circus was definitely a fucking circus.
Yep. Hey.
That is for sure. Lived up to the name.
Can't wait for the next Tiger versus Boxer fight or something like that. You know, they're going to go in a weird direction at some point, and I'm very excited. Cool. Interesting. Well, how do I follow that? Let's follow it. Battletoads? Does that fit with Fight Circus? Battletoads 2020? The new Battletoads came out last week.
Oh, did it? I
did.
Have not been following video games very much lately. I know people were mad about something about Control DLC or some shit. I saw that.
I still don't know what it is. Also, as some, I don't know.
I read about it a little bit, and it was like, hey, we have to do this for the console generation change, and it seemed reasonable to me. All right, but sorry, I digress. What were you?
No. What was I going to say? Okay, so Battletoads came out. How the hell do I describe this in a way that's not insane? Let's see here. You know... So first off, we'll go with, I am surprisingly enjoying my time with Battletoads.
Okay.
Of all, it's actually funny and good. It's sort of like what they should have done with Duke Nukem. It's sort of like almost like a referential kind of thing.
Are the jokes like up to date? Do they reference current shit?
Yes, and they also are like more like they get why Battletoads 1 is like this weird thing, right? Like it's from the 90s and kind of dated in that way, and they kind of play with that a little bit more. They
lean into it a little bit.
They lean into that and the ridiculousness of it all. If you haven't, you should watch the opening couple cutscenes for Battletoads. It's actually particularly pretty funny. And they have some good voice actors and stuff for that, which is
that's good.
Good. But I played it with two other people in our friend group. But the thing we learned was Battletoads doesn't have multiplayer.
Excuse me?
It does not have any kind of multiplayer setting. It has co-op, but it is only in person, like local co-op. Now you might be surprised by this.
I wonder if you can use that Steam Remote Play together thing to do that.
We used a program called, oh god, now I have to look up what this program is called.
Hamachi or Tungle.
We used Parsec.
Parsec, yep.
Yep, we used that, and that was like amazing. Barely any lag, very clean. The only time it lagged was during some of the motorcycle bits in Battletoads, which was to be expected, I guess, because you're flying at a pretty high base.
Yeah, the frame rate. Stuff Parsec, huh? I thought that was like some thing you needed to like charge for.
No, it's completely free, and we used it, and it was just wonderful in a way that I was expecting. Like it, everything just worked and worked very quickly without any hassle. It was almost like the Xbox Live or something like that, where you just send an invite to somebody and they just join, or you generate a code and send it to somebody. It's very smooth. I feel like Discord or something should buy them, because good god, that was just great. A great way to do that. Okay, what else can I say about Battletoads? Then we played like a lot of Battletoads. Several hours of Battletoads. And it's I can't believe I like Battletoads as much as I do. It's so good at times. There are lots of combos you can do and stuff. Like, it feels like one of the problems I had with like kind of Streets of Rage 4 is it, you kind of end up smashing the same buttons a little bit. But yeah, with Battletoads, you've got lots of like skills and things going on. Like, the second level of that game is like, it's like a neat, like, you're pressing different buttons. They kind of get day jobs after the Battletoads one thing. It's kind of the funny, like, they're getting day jobs, and it's kind of like, you. It's a whole section of like, you know, doing like almost little mini games or something like that. So you're pressing buttons in a certain order and then doing certain things to try to get a better score out of your day job or whatever, which is a neat little thing. And then they have like actually really decent puzzles and stuff going on too. Like, somebody who made this game really cared about Battletoads more than I think anybody who cared about Battletoads.
I mean, but that's exactly who you'd want to make a Battletoads game, right? Though, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they did a great job.
That's not a very convincing.
I'm not convinced in my own mind. I still just can't believe it's actually a good game. Battletoads, of all things. But it might be one of my favorite games of the year. I don't know how that happened, but it did. I recommend it everybody. It's actually, the opening is really strong and actually pretty fun for the first, like, I don't know, really couple minutes. It's quick and it kind of gets you right into stuff where you can kind of experience what the hell this game is and see if you're interested in it. It has a really good opening.
Cool.
Yeah, give it a try. Try Parsec, too, because it actually is very smooth.
Yeah, gonna take a look at Parsec for sure.
Yeah. New to PC. Oh, okay. I didn't get around. I was gonna play some of that Spiritfarer. I'll have some of them to talk about that next time. That came out in Game Pass this week. Also, The other thing I mentioned, we had been playing a lot of Remnant. We have now beaten Remnant from the ashes.
Nice.
Me, Marion, Pupcans, Sean, beat Remnant. Took us about, four game sessions of about, 3 hours.
Didn't you have, figure out how to hurt the last boss or some shit?
We did. That was about one of those sessions. The entire length of it was figuring out how to hurt that boss. Because we were just sitting there pouring damage into him, going okay, I don't know why this isn't working. But eventually, Mary figured it out. And I said I would say that, Mary, when you're watching this podcast back at some point, I got you. She figured out how to, what you gotta do, you basically get teleported into a room with a bunch of other enemies, and then two portals form, and it kind of makes it seem like you should just run out of the portal, but actually you should have to kill a bunch of the enemies to get a buff, so that when you walk out, you do tons and tons of damage to the boss.
Oh, okay.
I want you to figure that out during one phase. We smoked him so fast. It was unbelievable. We had gotten so good at that point because we have taken, it had been probably freaking a half an hour.
Sure.
Of just trying to damage this boss. And you're doing a little bit of damage, right? You're doing 15, 20 every shot or whatever. But then it's you get in there, you kill a bunch of those enemies, you walk out and you're doing 10,000, 20,000, and it's just dropping his health giant chunks. Oh, it was so good.
Nice.
Took us no time at all then. So yeah, Remnant's a really fun game. I didn't know it was a sequel to a VR game. Let's see. Do you know this game? Remnant? Let's see here. Prequel. I forget what it's called. Chronos from Gunfire Games?
Chronos? Yeah. Gunfire Games also made one of my favorite VR games, From Other Suns. That was Gunfire.
Oh my god. Oh my god, is it?
Yeah, Gunfire
made
that.
Makes so much sense. Okay.
It's a great fucking game if you have an Oculus headset, by the way. You can only get it on the Oculus store because it was an exclusive. Which kind of sucks.
Is that all sci-fi?
Yeah, it's kind of like FTL meets kind of some Borderlands because the guns are sort of randomized. And then there's a lot of first-person shit. You can go on... Basically, you're trying to get across a galaxy, and there's something chasing you. And then you're trying to get back to Earth before it gets blown up or some shit. I've never gotten there, because it's really hard. So you can, get onto, spaceships and shit, and all the levels are randomized and stuff with tile sets and stuff like that.
Huh.
And then some, you'll show up, and you're just, you'll get a radio hail or something, and you... pick it up. They're like, hey, I hid in here. All the robots went fucking insane. Can you help us get out of here? And it's like, you can either just bail or you can go in there and help them and maybe get some good guns or maybe die.
I wonder if that's in the same universe.
Probably not.
I could see it. Let's just say that. So Remnant, give it a kind of a thing. It is sort of like Brandon Chats is kind of like Destiny. It does feel a little like you're kind of like a third person shooter going around, but it ends up being like you kind of arrive on an island as a medieval looking dude in like medieval armor, and you kill a bunch of these monsters, and you get invited into this kind of underground bunker or whatever with a bunch of these other people in a sort of post-apocalyptic New York City. I think it's New York or Philly or one of those.
You just reminded me that Dying Light DLC is out.
Right.
Yeah, I need to fucking play that. Is that free if you own Dying Light already?
I think it is.
I'd have to go fucking play that shit.
You should go play that.
Dude.
I'd be interested to see what you think of that. I've heard good things. Anyway, so you kind of go through this whole thing, but the neat part that kind of connects it and makes me think of From Other Suns is at some point you're just... you're kind of going along missions, we got to figure out how to stop these evil root creatures from killing everything. And then you're just walking down a street at some point, and your mission is, find a tower or something like that. And this giant tower just zooms in to screen, almost like Control, where it's just holy cow, this impossibly huge structure is just here in the middle of this town now, in the middle of this city. And then you go inside, and you learn, it becomes Stargate SG-1 almost. Like,
okay,
it's just a bunch of portals now open that go to different worlds.
Does Stargate hold up, by the way?
Yes.
You should. Okay, because I'm a friend of the show, and I have been watching The Expanse, and we're caught up. We're caught up to season 5.
Great show. Dude.
Oh,
okay.
Amazing. Great show, though, right? The Expanse is fucking great. Oh, my. Love it.
That last season was fucking phenomenal.
Season 4 was all right. I kind of liked season 2 a little more.
Sure.
Season 1 and 2 I liked a bit more, but 3 and 4 were definitely didn't disappoint. They were not weak by any means, but I just preferred the first two over the... I'm looking forward to season 5, though.
Man, season 5 is gonna be what a setup. It's so... I don't know where that's going, and it's great.
I found that when it was still on Sci-Fi, they made an official Thingiverse account, like Sci-Fi did, and they posted a bunch of models of, like, the ships and stuff. Really? So I can just go and download an STL of the Rocinante.
The Rocinante.
Or I could get one...
I would do that. That's so nerdy.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I
would definitely do that.
Like, I was just... going on there. I was just going on there. I was like, there's probably some Expanse shit on here. And then the first couple ones I click, I didn't realize it. And I was like, oh shit, this was uploaded by Sci-Fi.
Oh my God, it is uploaded by
Sci-Fi. Yeah, there's some cool shit on there. I wish I had a laser cutter so I could make the communicators because I have some acrylic. And there are models. And there are like people have made like things you print out on clear whatever, and then you slap it onto a piece of acrylic, and then you print the base of it out, and you put an LED in there. But I don't have a laser cutter to cut the acrylic, so.
Right. Oh my God. Sci-Fi uploaded a lot of stuff, huh?
And I started listening to the audiobook of the first one.
Oh, I've thought about that,
too. Yeah, and like, so far, it's stuck pretty close to like the first couple episodes of the show. So I'm optimistic about how well it sticks to the books.
Huh. That is fascinating. That's so cool. I can't believe they uploaded all this to the Thingiverse. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Cool.
Sorry, you were Stargate and then we went off.
No. Now I'm all into this Thingiverse here. Yeah. So, like, I would wonder, because it ends up being, like, you're traveling to different worlds or whatever, I wonder if one of those worlds would have the root or something like that from Remnant in it, from the Suns, from other Suns. There could be some minor reference, some Remnant.
Yeah, there might, it might be in the same universe, but they're, like, so fucking far apart, like, one's way out in space, and from other Suns is a really cool game, though, and I'm kind of sad that it didn't get as much coverage as it did. Probably because it's an Oculus exclusive. Like, if it was on Steam, I'm sure so many people would have picked it up. I hope it gets ported to Steam eventually.
That'd be cool. So anyway, I was wondering if you had played that Chronos from
them. I haven't. They made a couple other VR games. They made one that's kind of like a shooting gallery. It was really early in VR. It was like a really early VR title. So I'll give that a pass. Like, stuff that came out in like the first 6 months to a year of VR. Okay, fine. Like, Robo Recall's dope, by the way. That game's still really fun. Sure. Robo Recall's still super fun. But I think, what was their game called? Dead and Buried. Is what I think it was. Ooh, it was basically a shooting gallery. We just shot zombies and stuff. But then they made From Other Suns. Like, they make good use of the Oculus money for From Other Suns, in my opinion.
They made Darksiders 3 at some point.
They made the Darksiders games, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know if they made the first two. Okay. They may have.
They made 2, I think. Okay. Yeah, they made 2. Neat. I never knew they made that. Oh my goodness. Well, I guess there's a reason I like them so much, because Remnant's a lot of fun. If you haven't played it, it's it doesn't take you that long. It's not a super long game, but it's fun. You're rolling around, you're shooting, you're doing all kind of RPG stuff, and all the worlds are super crazy and weird. It feels like a mashup of like Control and Control and like Castlevania. Almost.
When is that second Control DLC coming out? It's like in a couple days, isn't it?
Oh my God.
It's like the end. I need to finish the first DLC. I'm like halfway through it, I think.
Me too. Me too. Yep, yep. Let's see. Control AWE.
Yep.
That's coming out, oh my god, 4 days from now.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's, I know it's what I'm super doing this fucking week. Soon.
All right.
How much do they want for it? I mean, I'll pay it if it's like $20. Fucking whatever, man.
I think we got, didn't we get it for when we got, I remember you telling me, like, just buy the season pass or whatever, because then you get both of them.
Yeah, I said get the season pass because I knew that the story expansions were going to be fucking big, and I knew that they were going to be good.
Yep.
Because I'm a Remedy fanboy, so.
I am. Me too. Listen, I'm excited to play that
game. Give Remedy more money. Poor video games.
Listen. I know, yeah. Just giving them all the money in the world. They're making, I can't wait to play their silly, what the heck is that game, Crossfire or whatever? They're making a single player.
No, yeah, they're doing the single player for that Crossfire.
I will play that.
Reimagining or whatever. Crossfire is a weird thing. It's like, I don't know why they're trying to add a story to it. Like, Crossfire is.
Yeah.
It started as kind of a Counter-Strike clone, like a free-to-play Counter-Strike clone in China or Korea. I think it might be Korea. Might have been Korean.
I think, but it's, yeah.
I don't know. I played it and it just felt kind of weird. It felt like a little more Call of Duty-ish than Counter-Strike, I guess. Uh-huh. Like it felt a lot faster. I downloaded it just to give it a shot and wasn't super impressed. But apparently it was huge. It is huge still.
I would play that. I have a sickness with Remedy games where if Remedy's in the game, I will play it.
Yeah, I'm wondering if the single player might actually be good.
I would not be surprised.
It might be one of those situations. This might be like a Battlefield Hardline situation where they have an actual good company do the single player campaign, but it just gets the whole thing just gets panned because the multiplayer is not good or something.
Right.
I could play the Battlefield Hardline campaign if you haven't. If you have it in Origin, you probably have a copy of it on Origin or some shit.
I mean, yeah, I feel like
go
feel like
play the campaign for Battlefield Hardline. It's super awesome. It's very creatively done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's all I've played.
I played a little bit of Quantum Break.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I didn't get super far in it. Because I was having a lot of performance issues, but I think I figured those out. Having G-Sync on or some shit. I think,
yeah,
because my mouse was just jittery. Like it ran fine. Like if I just hold W, the frame rate was nice and smooth. But if I tried to aim with the mouse, it was just like it was updating at 30 hertz, and my game was running at 144 or 90 or whatever. But I figured it out, and now I need to get back to that. I need to get back to Control. I need to get back to Quantum Break. I'm getting back into Beat Saber because I finally figured out why the fucking game was stuttering.
Uh-huh.
Which was...
Why was it stuttering?
Okay, so... okay, so... when I was playing Tarkov, one of the performance tweaks is to turn hyper-threading off. So I did that.
Okay.
And I didn't really have any issues with Beat Saber that I remember, but then I kind of fell off Tarkov, and then I turned it back on in my BIOS. I turned hyper-threading back on, but Windows doesn't pick it up until you clear the CMOS. For some reason, I'm not entirely sure why, and it doesn't do it with Intel. It's just AMD's hyper-threading thing. But I waited for a long time to do that. I was like, hey, whatever. I'm not really seeing any issues. And I wasn't playing a ton of Beat Saber at the time. So, I didn't really notice it. And I started trying to get back in here. I'm like, why is this stuttering so bad? And then I think it was like a week or two ago, I had a really weird problem with my computer just happen. And I just cleared the CMOS. Mm-hmm. And then like probably that night I played Beat Saber and I was like, was that it? Was that really it? Is I had hyper-threading off?
Huh.
Or I had it on in the BIOS, but Windows wasn't picking it up, and there was something going on there? I don't know. But it runs great now.
Some disconnect? Sure.
So okay. I'm able to actually play it again. And my cardio is fucking terrible. Like, I'm done after, like, two songs now.
Uh-huh.
But we'll get back to the hour-long sessions soon.
Yeah, there you go.
even though I'm like, I'm dead the next day. I'm so sore the next day after those. I did a 2-hour stream where I played Beat Saber, and I regretted it for like the next 2 days after that.
Well, hey, I mean, that's a positive though. Like, if yeah. it can get you up and get you moving and you can enjoy yeah. it, like that's half of the fight.
That's the big part about why I've been kind of stoked to be working at home, is because like my lunch break, I can just have something to eat real quick and then just play Beat Saber for 45 minutes and like mm-hmm. get some kind of a workout in, you know?
Right.
Like,
hey,
I'm one of our friends was like, Beat Saber's just swinging your arms. How are you tired? I'm like, okay, one, no, it's not.
Yeah.
And two, you are not 6'2", 300 pounds. It's like, it's a lot right. fucking harder for me to move faster on expert and expert plus tracks. It requires a lot right. more effort. More so when I was 30 pounds yeah. heavier.
True. Right. Hey. I mean, really, it's all about like, oh my, like Beat Saber always was, it's not just moving your arms, like you're moving.
Like you gotta move your whole body to like follow the how like really? the arrows and stuff move. Because they don't just like stay in your range. You gotta move around a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then there's like, you gotta dodge walls and like squat under stuff. There are tracks that'll make you jump. There are custom tracks that'll make you jump, or just a full wall coming at you. And you just have to keep your head outside of it, right? So there's just a little bit of space over the top of it, and you have to jump to get your headset over it.
Hmm.
But
I
got some custom sabers that are like, I never liked any of the custom sabers. They all looked fucking tacky and stupid to me. But then I found one mm-hmm. that's called Space Opera, and they're just Star Wars lightsabers with the blur and stuff. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. Like it's fucking sweet. And that's what I use constantly now. And it feels baller. I just feel awesome when I'm playing that game. I probably look like a fucking idiot, but whatever. That's why I don't have an external camera set up during my stream. So I get way into it and I look like mm-hmm. a dumbass.
Oh, hey, that's having fun. Whatever. I used to think the same thing playing Wii Bowling or whatever, but then it's like, everybody looks dumb doing it. It's fine.
I've thought of some, because I don't know how I would do it, because I face the exact opposite direction, because I have my play area in Beat Saber rotated 45 degrees, so I can be facing three of my sensors, essentially, instead of just the two in the front, because I was having some weird tracking issues. So I rotated the whole play area in the game and seems to have fixed it. But I was like, how the fuck am I going to do that? And I was like, I can use one of these old phones that I've got sitting around and use an IP webcam or some shit. So I don't know. I've got some solutions in mind. Some experience from the gun range stream I did.
Yeah, that was a great stream, by the way.
That was fun. It was the quality of it wasn't great, but
I enjoyed it.
It was just kind of a dry run just to see. Yeah. I have ideas for a phone case with a heatsink because mm-hmm. my phone overheated and the stream died.
Uh-huh.
So, got some ideas.
I should buy one of those at some point because my phone.
There's not really any real good options. Like I'm gonna have to make one. I'm gonna have to buy a case and cut it up. I think I'm gonna use some of those like reusable thermal pads that they make now for like CPUs and shit. Mm-hmm. And just slap those on the back of a heatsink and then cut a hole in the case so that the metal goes through and then somehow adhere that to the case and those thermal pads will touch the back of the phone and maybe throw a fan or two on there and call it good. And that'll be my range stream rig.
That'd work. Hey, that probably works.
I need to do another one of those. That was really fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Well, sir, you want to do just a quick rundown of the news.
Yeah, explain this control thing to me, because I haven't been following it.
Okay, control thing. We'll run down a couple news stories here. So people have been really angry about. Let's see here, I'll find the actual news story. But we'll start. So the issue with control has been. Let's see here. It's 505 Games kind of put out a statement. And so what's been going on is basically they're releasing for next gen consoles a Ultimate Edition of Control, which is basically just the Game of the Year edition or whatever.
It's sure, like, with all the DLC and stuff.
Everything. Yeah. But it's not any different from anything else. The only real difference for a console side is you get the opportunity to get kind of like the next gen version of the game.
Oh, so the PC version.
Yeah, so the PC version. And it seems like, at least from what people were saying, that you'd have to buy, I think that's $60. Like, I don't think there's a path for just random, you know, person who already has the season pass and stuff to buy in. So I think that's been sort of an issue. But then 505 has been putting its foot in its mouth continuously throughout this in a way.
Oh, really? It's not like really Remedy. Special. It's 505 is like fucking this up. Okay.
Yes, it's not Remedy. It's, yeah. Let's see here. And 505 has been doing just a note that they published Death Stranding on PC. They've been kind of in a weird spot where they're like putting out different pieces for different games.
Yeah, and like people, like, there's like this weird subset of PlayStation fanboys that are just mad that shit is getting ported to PC. Have you seen any of that on Twitter, like, over the past like 6 months? People are just
quite a lot of
why
anger,
is Horizon getting ported? Why is Death Stranding getting a PC port, which was announced like when the game was announced? They're like, yeah, we're going to do a PC version later. But whatever.
Yeah, just bizarre stuff.
So they probably already had some people not happy with them.
Yeah, they already had a lot of people who were like a little weirded out by it. But then they're kind of like trying to describe in some way the upgrade path for like a version of the game, and just not finding good reasons why they're charging the amount they're charging for it. And then you also have that kind of coupled with the Xbox stuff where it's like Xbox came out and said all of our games are gonna just, if you buy it on Xbox One, you'll get it on Xbox One X or whatever. You'll get it on the next generation hardware without any charge. And so that's kind of been linked in with this too, where it, like, some people assumed, I guess, that, oh, if Xbox is doing all games, if I buy a game on PlayStation 4, I should get a free copy of the next gen version on the next thing, when that's not necessarily true.
Maybe a discount. I would say a discount would be fine.
Sure, like a discount.
Give me it for $30 or something. If I bought the previous gen version within like 6 months ago or whatever. Or a year or something like that. When you guys announced this, it's like, hey, if you buy this now, we'll let you upgrade to the next one for $30 or $40 or something. Like 100% not. That's just not free. Right. That takes work, bro. I mean, it's cool when companies do it, but it shouldn't be the norm.
Right. Absolutely, yeah. I would agree with that. And they put out a statement, I guess Remedy or Control. Somebody put out a 505 Games on Control's website, put out a big long statement. I'll post this in our thing so you can read it while I talk a little bit, but it's basically like, what's the upgrade path for this? Why are you doing this? What's an explanation, basically, is the title. Control Ultimate Edition, an explanation. It's a strange thing. It kind of felt like, at least to me, like they kind of didn't have a plan for next gen.
Yeah.
Like they thought it was maybe going to be a year out or another year out or something like that. So they had more, I don't know, time to figure that out.
I'm wondering if
free then,
because is this supposed to be like a launch title, launch, quote unquote, launch title?
No, it might be.
I wonder if that came into the picture super late or something. Where they're like, yeah, we're going to make a next gen version of it, sure, but now like the deadline got pushed way up because now, I don't know. Just speculating.
So here's just the end statement. In conclusion, to bring Control to the next generation consoles in any form, we had to make some difficult decisions, and those came in the form of creating the simplified Control Ultimate Edition product plan we have today. I don't know. It's just it's expectations versus like really bad corporate marketing talk, like mixed with other things that made people confused. And 505 game comes out of this, not Remedy necessarily. I feel like Remedy did whatever they had to do for this, but 505 games just comes out looking like silly in a certain way where it's like, I don't know. They could have, the messaging was very bad over this, and they didn't make it very clear why the Ultimate Edition was the Ultimate Edition, and it got people upset, as everything on the internet does nowadays. It just got people upset. So
I just heard there was some control hubbub, and I was like, yeah, whatever, I'm busy. I'm working.
Yep. Even I'm not completely sure why people are super upset, besides for the fact that like I understand like people just want their, they just want control to work on the next gen thing.
Should have bought the PC version then, because we already have it.
But how much of an upgrade is it really going to be? Like, you add ray tracing.
I kind of want to see how that hardware ray tracing or whatever the fuck works in Control. Because Control is an excellent showcase of ray tracing.
Yep.
And it's not even like it's not even like, ooh, ray tracing. It's like, no, it just, it's great because of the aesthetic of the oldest house. There's a lot of slick surfaces and shit.
And really, the only thing they're adding is like the upper level PC stuff, which is like, they're not like making the game next generation with like higher resolution textures or anything. They're just kind of adding some graphic sliders. So it's a really minimum increase in like performance over something else, over how it is already. So it's,
I mean, how do they know that though? Like, how do you know exactly what settings are going to be in this? Like, they might dumb it down on a list, but like, yeah, it's got some graphics options, but it might just be like, hey, you can upscale this shit. It's like, hey, but it's basically the PC version with some different resolution support, and you got hardware ray tracing, which is going to look fucking sweet, I bet, on these consoles. But I bet that's like the only game that's really going to do anything with the ray tracing, because...
Right.
Ugh. I do want to see all the performances on that.
I do, too. God. Good ray tracing.
Even without ray tracing, that game looks beautiful.
It does. God. All right. I got to play that this week. We're going to put that
on. Yeah, I got to finish that DLC. That Foundation DLC is really good. I don't know if you've started playing it or not.
I started it. I got back into the thing where I was like, okay, what am I looking at here? Because I had beaten that game before they did some of the fixes with like some of the gunplay stuff, like that one mod was not showing up or whatever for some people. So I have this whole different loadout now. I had to figure out like, how do I upgrade these mods and what am I going to do here and there? Right. And so now I'm like, I finally got kind of back into it, walked in the first area or whatever. I'm very excited to keep playing that. So I'm going to do that this week. Definitely. Really, the only other thing this week was, I mean, it's the epic Fortnite thing.
Oh, yeah.
That keeps happening.
the ad parody was...
just gold, right? Just, I mean,
it was.
Just...
I was laughing at the absurdity of it. Just how absurd this is. This giant company is doing, like, petty shit like this. And just like, hey, haha, we parodied your ad because we don't like your business practices.
And that just keeps happening. I guess Apple has gone nuclear. It has retaliated. Yeah,
they're basically just going to close all their accounts, ban all their accounts on the store.
And then also cut Epic off from iOS and Mac development tools.
Because you need a license to make and publish stuff on the App Store, and it costs money. So, and it scales. So if you're making big things with big companies, like. And I think you need a developer account for each person, I believe. Each developer, I think, to run stuff on a phone. It's been like almost a decade since I did any native iOS development. So don't quote me on this.
And the weird thing is that doesn't affect Epic, you know, when they're getting pushed out, because they already kind of got pushed out already. I wonder what impact it has on UE5 or whatever, and like... if they're going to even attempt to include that kind of developer tool stuff for, like, I don't know, Unreal 5 at all, because it's like, why would we when they pushed us out of the thing? So know, developers who use the Unreal Engine might not be able to release on Apple.
Oh, okay, okay, I see what you're saying. Got it.
Yeah, right? Because, like, why would they include those kind of... Why would they even make it possible to release a iOS any kind of...
Yeah, it's like, if you can't publish it on the thing, why even put the work in to even make it for that?
Right.
It's like, sucks to you. You get to be stuck on UE4 for a while. And then once you guys figure your shit out, we'll get you version 6. How's that sound? when that comes back around.
And then I wonder, like, going forward, like, I wonder how many developers on Apple Store use Unreal Engine in some part to the...
I don't think they're doing that. I don't think they're restricting that. Because you can't really control what people build shit in. I mean, you sort of can, but you can't really... I don't know. I don't know how to describe it.
I mean, they could say... I guess the retaliation could be, like, you can't use any of those developer tools, so it would just not get updated then. So if you're a game that is updating on a constant basis or whatever, maybe you can't anymore? I'm not really clear.
I don't think this is
a set of things.
I probably need to read on this some more, but I don't think this is going to affect any other developers who are using any kind of Unreal Engine stuff.
Let's be hopeful.
I think this is like direct relations with Epic. Yep.
Epic. Yeah. I could see that. Sure. Then what else we got here? We got, all right, and then we'll talk about the Fandome. The DC Fandome. Welcome to the Fandome.
Can you give me some Fandome, if you know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
No.
When I see that written down or said out loud, that's just what I think of. My mind is in the gutter. I'm sorry.
No, I get you. So he started off yesterday, I think at 10 o'clock or something like that, with a hot announcement of Gotham Knights. Do you like 4-player cooperative Batman Arkham City type games?
Not really.
You like Robin? Nightwing? Batgirl? Red Hood?
So Robin.
Well, and Batgirl. Robin, and Batgirl.
Oh, okay.
The musical quartet.
I know fuck all about Batman, so... I know that Nightwing got beat to death in an alley in one of the Arkham games. And he was used as a tutorial step for the Batvision.
Right, I forgot about that. Oh, no. Oh, no. So this game, next year, release date, it's sort of like Arkham City, but then what if we then added, like, Assassin's Creed RPG systems to it? How do you feel about numbers over thugs' heads?
I'm indifferent.
And combat damage. Hello, cat. You're coming up. All right, cat. Be good, cat. Sit, cat. Yeah. I don't know how I feel about it. We'll see. It had a neat look. It was a little bit more stylized. Batman's dead, but he's also definitely coming back at the end of this game. But he's dead. He initiated Nightfall Protocol.
In this game, Batman, he dies.
He dies. Welcome to Sherlock Holmes.
In this game. All right. Major, massive inside joke, sort of.
This game, Batman dies. Now they're like going around. I don't know how it will be. But guess what? If you don't like that, we have another game for you from the Fandome.
For me?
Do you like 4-player cooperative battling games with RPG combat elements added in?
Is this the same? You just described this game.
It's called Suicide Squad, and it's coming out in 2022.
Why?
I would never imagine they would announce 2 4-player co-op games.
Didn't the Suicide Squad movie not do very well?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it didn't do well. I apologize. I have a cat who is very needy right now.
That's all right. I know that struggle.
He's very needy.
That's why I closed my door during the podcast.
That's true. I should get a door right here.
Just a big door. Like one of those like sliding ones that like collapses and it splits a room into two. Yeah.
So the Suicide Squad did not do very well, but then also there's another new Suicide Squad movie by James Gunn, who did Guardians of the Galaxy, coming out at some point, yet to be named. So I don't know. Also, this game has been bopping around in Warner for like years.
Oh, really?
Trying to make a Suicide Squad game, and eventually they just said to Rocksteady after Arkham Knight, "Hey, make one of these for us," and they did. So that's it. That's the fandom. They announced Batman. You should watch that Batman trailer if he hasn't. That was pretty good. Don't watch that Wonder Woman trailer. It's not very good. Do you like Cats, the musical?
No.
And cat. Oh. Getting on top of the keyboard, cat. Keyboards. Yeah. Kitty. What are you doing? Why do you want to play with my caps lock key? Make me push to talk all the time.
It's a good push talk key.
He just wants to be on the podcast. So yeah, I don't know. We'll see. It's bizarre that they announced within the span of a couple of hours two games that really look and feel the same in some respects.
Yeah, and like, there's like the Avengers. I know it's not the
and the Avengers game coming out, looks. Yeah.
Derivative and boring to me, at least. Like, who wants? It's like a loop based game, but the stuff you put on doesn't affect the appearance of your character because licensing and likeness rights, I guess.
Right.
Some shit. So it's like, what?
Right.
I saw a video this morning where there's no fails for the QuickTime event. On Twitter, and if you just sit there, the game eventually just just sits there and just waits. It's like the game just freezes. Music stops, everything quits moving, and it just has the fucking pop on screen. It's like, come on.
Just someone just in the background looks over like,
we gotta do this song and dance, come on.
Yeah. I'd love it if one of the agents or something like that, one of the minions look over and like just gives you the, what are you doing? What's going on over there, buddy? Yeah. You gotta press that button at some point. Do it. We gotta get through this.
Like, I'm not a big superhero movie guy.
Sure.
It's not for me.
That's fair.
There are some that are alright. I really like the Iron Man movies.
Sure.
And I just finished the first season of The Boys.
The Boys. Very great.
Very good. Very good. I'm looking forward to season two.
You're not going to expect the twist that's coming.
The twist. I already finished the first season. So I know the ending of first season kind of sucked.
There's a twist. There's a twist to The Boys that's going to come at some point, and you're going to love it.
Oh, yeah, right. Because it's based on a graphic comic. Yeah. Right. So there's. Yeah.
You're going to love it.
I heard the comic is way more explicit. Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Very brutal. Very violent.
Even just in the show, it's still kind of
dark.
Like, dark and kind of pretty gory. And then somebody told me, it's like, the comics are worse. I was like, holy shit, really?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
A lot of very sudden deaths in that show.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you are not expecting it at all. And somebody just, nope, they're dead now. Bye.
GG. Yeah, I can relate to that, having read trending topic chainsaw manga. And it's trending worldwide on Twitter right now. I can tell you that recent chapter of Chainsaw. That's a lot of that kind of stuff there. Yeah, that's all I got. For the news. And I think that's it for the podcast, sir. Thank you for hanging out.
No worries.
Thank you, my cat, Spider-Man, for interrupting the show. He's now being good and laying on my lap. So that's good.
Good kitty.
Positive. Yeah. And that'll be it, I think. That's episode 210 of Rob the Baghdad. You can find us every week, Sundays, 4:30, 4 o'clock, depending on what's going on. Hang out with us on our Twitch channel.
4 o'clock Eastern time.
Yeah.
1 p.m.
YouTube.
1:30 p.m. Pacific.
1:30 p.m. We have a YouTube channel. RamsOverBaghdad.com is the website. @RamsBag is our Twitter. RamsBag@gmail.com. If you want to ask us hot questions.
Has anybody checked that email address in like the last 2 years?
I did today.
Oh.
In fact.
Shit.
And I could tell you, we have numerous emails from a man from the United Arab Emirates.
That's right, huh?
Attempted to reach
We've been
out.
Getting a bunch of those. I remember DJ mentioning those.
Uh-huh. I don't know why. But he keeps reaching out about like some kind of, I guess our uncle passed away or something like that.
Oh,
and
shit.
I guess we've got a really big check coming in. But he's gonna have to get some information from us. Some social security numbers, some account numbers. He's gonna have to wire something over. So we're gonna deal with that. We're very excited. Gonna build a studio for Rums Over Baghdad with that hot cash from the United Arab.
Yeah, Airways. Man.
Very excited. With that, that's the episode. Thank you for watching, folks. Go out there and enjoy. I'm gonna go probably play Control.